Stop and think about Japan and the United States in the Second World War. There's a little interesting subtext here, and I don't think most people consider it. Japan was had an interest in taking over most of Asia and controlling that part of the world, that sphere of influence they would have. So Japan would control China, Japan would control all the outer islands, and then Japan would control the Pacific and would be in total command of what the Pacific was doing. So they built up a large fleet to control the Pacific and be able to do that. And they sent troops to a lot of different places to protect and defend and control those areas. So there was a lot of stories about how they went into China and they took it by force, or some portions of China anyway. They didn't push all the way inland, but you know, they started to take over the coasts and the major cities. And then in the meantime, they started to push toward the islands that would be east of them and take those over as well, because it would be a defensive position for them. So the United States had a military base in Hawaii. Why, he wasn't a state at that point, of course, but had a military base there and was amassing some fleet for the Pacific Theater in that place. The U.S. was not in a war with Japan. The U.S. had not entered the World War II conflict at this point. Germany was doing what they were doing in Europe and into North Africa, and the U.S. was kind of sitting idly by. So Japan decided to be proactive and be preemptive and have a strike against the U.S. military base in Hawaii. So they go off and they attack Pearl Harbor. So that's what precipitated the war. Now, there are actual reasons I'm not going to get into here, because I really don't know all the specific reasons for what they were doing. I know generally that their goal was to take on the U.S. and take the U.S. out of the game. If you can push them further back and have them retreat back to the coastland, all the better, because then they can control all the Pacific islands. So that's where they were going. So the Japanese attacked at Pearl Harbor. And the casualties were great, and you heard the president, President Truman at the time, say that we couldn't stand by and we have to enter this conflict. And so he declared war, and Congress agreed and declared war on Japan, and we engaged in the conflict. Now, one of the first things we did was start to protect the islands there and start to push westward toward Japan. And there was a military aviator, I believe he was a Navy officer, by the name of Jimmy Doolittle, who had this idea that we should go ahead and attack some Japanese strongholds. And they came up with a plan to launch a number of aircraft from an aircraft carrier and send them over to attack a Japanese stronghold and actually attack Japan. It was sort of a retaliatory strike. So we went and did that. And it was moderately successful, but it really just angered the Japanese. You could say it pissed them off, right? Because now all of a sudden, they were in a lesser position. We didn't withdraw like they hoped we would. They actually stayed, we stayed in the conflict, and we actually engaged with them. So now we've escalated it. So their next move was to say, all right, let's bring a ship and maybe a couple of, a submarine or so, over toward, did they have submarines? Maybe they didn't. It was just a frigate. And they brought it over toward the coast of California, and they attacked a military base on the coast of California. They fired off a number of rounds, and they set off a munitions depot. And most people don't know this piece of the story. You don't hear about this one very often. It was in California. And I believe no one was killed, because it took place in the middle of the night, but it was another strike on the military, right? On a military base. It was, again, an attempt to keep the U.S. out of the theater. And they were mad anyway. So we again took another strike, went back and started attacking some of their fleet and started attacking the Pacific Theater, started setting up a strategy for how we wanted to do this. The Japanese didn't take it lightly. And there was a number of different stories that came out at that point. So after that attack on the military base, the U.S. decided that it was time to, a number of stories came up about how the Japanese were continuing to try and attack the west coast of the United States. Now, there's no evidence to support that they actually did. There was never a ship sighting. There might have been one or two ship sightings, but there was never an attack, or never another ship sighting, never another plane sighting, as far as I know, on the west coast of the United States. But there were stories about attacks. And stories about people being, you know, Japanese, people of Japanese ancestry speaking in Japanese in hushed tones around the time that someone said that they saw an aircraft or something. So the U.S. government decided that it was time to inter the Japanese people and put them, you know, in basically camps so that they couldn't inflict more harm on the United States. Whether this was the right thing, the wrong thing, I'm not going to get into that here. It's the wrong thing, but I'm just not going to say it. It was kind of a ridiculous notion of what we should do and how we should react to the war effort. Of course, the Japanese are still mad. They're fighting in the Pacific Theater against us. We're continuing to push as far westward as we can and amassing our fleet. So they come up with a new strategy. And this was a really unique strategy. They came up with something called Fugo, which was a series of hot air balloons that they affixed with incendiary bombs and some other pressure-sensitive things, so that when they would be touched down or otherwise fall out of the sky, they would explode. And they found a way. They used some science things to figure out how to launch it and where to launch it from in Japan, from a mountaintop near the coast, where it would actually catch some of the jet stream, because they were aware of the jet stream. We didn't use it very well at that point, but they were aware of it, and they figured they could launch these balloons from there. They would come over to the United States, they would drop down, and they would actually be able to maybe attack the West Coast. Now, how many they actually launched, nobody's really sure. It was in the thousands. Whether it was in the tens of thousands, I don't think anybody really knows. But what happened was, over time, they launched a number of these things. And these balloons went over, and there were reports of them coming to the United States. So for the most part, these things came over and landed and never exploded, were called into the military where they were retrieved and detonated, without incident. There was a couple that were found. I think the farthest one actually came as far as western Texas, if I'm not mistaken. But they were found along the coast a bit. Now, some of them certainly were destroyed or fell out of the sky somewhere in the Pacific where they didn't cause any damage. But there was one that actually made its way to Oregon. And there was a group of kids on a church outing. One of them saw this thing. They couldn't figure out what it was that had landed in a forest. They were on a camping trip, I guess, or something along those lines. And there's a really good story about how this all came together that you should listen to. It's really compelling about how this all kind of came out. There's been books written about it and so forth, and the author has been interviewed. And this device was sitting on the ground, and one of them actually touched it, and it exploded, and it killed, I want to say it was 8 people total, somewhere in that range. So not a very large number. More than one is, one or more is still a tragedy. But these were the only casualties that happened on U.S. soil. And it really incentivized the U.S. to go even further, right, to try and, attack Japan even more forcefully because, now they had attacked us in our homeland. And so the Japanese had the effect that they wanted because they engaged the U.S., the Americans, into a total battle there. And that escalated, of course, back and forth, where we developed the nuclear bomb and, the atomic bomb, and we dropped it on Japan, 2 of them on Japan. And there was thoughts of having others being dropped, which is just unbelievably horrific. I can't believe we ever got into that. And if you ever listen to any reports or interviews that were done by Oppenheimer, Feynman, Fermi, any of the other guys who were at Los Alamos, they all realize they'd made a mistake. We had to control. We had to get that technology ahead of the other countries because they would use it against us. Understood. But the fact that we used it that way is just such a horrible thing. We escalated it to a point that we shouldn't have, but it did effectively end the war at that point. You're talking about a 4 or 5 year span that happened between the first attack on Pearl Harbor and when it all ended. So a lot of things happened, but this is all about that escalation, and perhaps it could have been resolved differently. Perhaps we could have been engaged differently. But the fact that there was this back and forth that happened, and we lose sight of that in history. We don't understand how it happened. We hear about the attack on Pearl Harbor. We talk about the bombs we dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But we don't really understand the context. So I encourage you to go out and read more about this and learn more about what the history was and understand what happened. Some of the story of the kids being killed in Oregon by this bomb is just amazing when you stop and think about it, because, you know, the U.S. military was trying to, they knew about this program, the Fugo program, and they tried to keep it a secret as much as they could. They didn't want other people to know that the Japanese were launching, you know, some sort of devices at us. They didn't want to scare the public. That was a, you know, one of the stated goals there. So how do you stop that from becoming a problem? You keep it a secret. Yeah, and so this became top secret, and there was a lot of things that happened. And even within the town didn't even know what happened. They were just killed, right? That was the end of that. So very strange. And, you know, as we learn more, perhaps we can be smarter in the future, right, and do more things and understand what happened in history to help prevent it from happening again. You know, if we listen to today's world where we talk about, you know, deporting people or interring them or putting them in camps or whatever, it's the same thing. Was that the right thing to do by the Japanese there? You know, you have to really consider what happened and how that all went down. It was just a horrible time. We really weren't doing right by anybody, I don't think. You know, I think there were other ways we could have handled some of what we did. But that's, you know, unfortunately, those are the realities of war. And, you know, it's a very difficult thing and difficult time. And we don't talk about it enough as a nation. We don't get into what happened there. And, you know, we talk about the heroics of how we had the Battle of Midway and we won. And we talk about how, you know, we raised the flag on Iwo Jima. And there's the, you know, the statue of the and the picture of the Marines raising the American flag. And that's all great. You know, that American exceptionalism, that national pride, that's all terrific. But you need to understand the whole story. And I think that's what's missing sometimes. And we need to do a better job of understanding that. So that's my take. And remember, we should be making America smart again.